KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. Governor Sean Parnell is seeking a federal disaster declaration for the king salmon fisheries on the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers. In a letter to Acting U.S. Secretary of Commerce Rebecca Blank on Saturday, Parnell noted the troubling low salmon runs. He says the fisheries are critical to residents in the region. He says many rely on money earned from even small commercial fisheries to make it through Alaska's harsh winters. Parnell said the Cook Inlet region is also seeing low Chinook salmon returns and may also qualify for an economic disaster declaration once the season ends. A federal disaster declaration will not bring automatic assistance to the region. A federal appropriation committee will be needed to provide funds. The Alaska Nana Commission and the U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife were in Shishmaref on Friday to detail a new international quota for subsistence hunting of polar bears in the Bering and Chukchi Seas, the culmination of decades of work by former Nana Commissioner Charlie Johnson, who passed away in April. The quota agreement brings together subsistence hunters in Alaska and Chukotka with the backing of both the Russian and the U.S. governments. After a phased implementation next year, the quota is expected to officially begin in 2014 and allow for 58 bears to be taken each year, 29 per country. Rhonda Sparks is the regional coordinator for the Alaska Nana Commission.
The reason why there's a quota system is a native-driven initiative to ensure future generation use of both sides. We did hear other hunters comment and say that it is important for them to hunt and subsist and go back to one of their traditional used resources, and that's polar bear.
Nearly 200 people turned out for the meeting in Shishmaref last Friday. Polar bear hunters in attendance generally seemed to accept the quota, but their questions focused more on the food shared by both subsistence users and polar bears, seals. Since last year, diseased seals suffering from an unknown illness have been found in the North Slope and the Bering Sea. Hunters at the meeting in Shishmaref expressed concern about what diseased seals might mean for polar bears. Stanley Talktu, the local Shishmaref representative for the Nana Commission, says the polar bear quota doesn't seem as important as the health of the seals.
I don't think it really affects Alaskan too much, but we like to work with the Chukotka side, Eskimo side, you know, but they have a different government, different way of doing things, but the polar bear eats the seals just like we depend on the seal. We got things to worry about to our bearded seal losing their hair and their fur.
Warren Ningaluk is a polar bear hunter in Shishmaref. He said that with a healthy, if uncounted, population of polar bears in the Chukchi and the Bering Sea, a quota doesn't seem necessary.
I don't think there should be any quotas. I don't think that's a good idea because of the number of polar bears that were estimated for the population in Alaska and the other countries are pretty healthy for the population. I think the population would start to go down if wrestlers allowed to hunt again.
Alaskan hunters take about 30 bears annually, close to the proposed quota, but hunting polar bear in Chukotka has been illegal since 1956. Fish and Wildlife biologist Jim Wilder says that leads to an unsustainable, illegal take that is impossible to manage. The new agreement will allow for a legal and manageable harvest in Chukotka.
Polar bear harvest in western Alaska is certainly within sustainable limits. But on the other hand, the best available information we have indicates that the level of killing of polar bears on the Russian side is likely not sustainable. And so, yeah, the agreement's very important for that because it recognizes the rights of Chukotka natives to harvest polar bears within a managed system.
The quota strives for a 2-to-1 male-female harvest ratio and can be adjusted as studies of the polar bear population are completed. In Alaska, skull and hide tagging requirements already in effect will remain in place, and the sale of polar bear parts will still be regulated by the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Any kind of commercial or sport hunting will remain illegal. The Alaska Nana Commission serves 15 communities in western Alaska. Their meeting in Shishmaref is only the beginning of a consultation process in villages throughout the region. Meetings will be held in Point Lay, Point Hope, Diomede, Savunga, and Gamble in the coming weeks. You can submit feedback on the harvest quota online at thealaskananacommission.org. There is also a link available on the news page of knom.org. Authorities have released the identity of a woman whose body was found near Barrow. The Anchorage Daily News reports that the body has been identified as 28-year-old Eliza Mae Simmons. She was last seen on May 13th and reported missing by family members 5 days later. There was an exhaustive search by North Slope Borough Police and volunteers in May. Her body was discovered on the 5th of July, south of Barrow. The state medical examiner's office confirmed the identity of the remains on Thursday. Police have not received a report on the cause of death. The investigation is considered ongoing. And Shell Oil has run into a number of problems with its Arctic drilling plans over the last week. The Coast Guard refused to certify its oil spill containment barge without substantial modifications. The EPA is reviewing the Noble Discoverer's drill rig's air permits. And on Saturday, that rig came dangerously close to shore in Unalaska. Stephanie Mae Joyce with KUCB reports that investigators are still trying to determine whether the Noble Discoverer actually ran aground. Bystanders and photographs placed the rig less than 100 feet from shore, but Shell says a preliminary inspection of the hull found no damage. Strong waves and winds, says, rather contributed to the vessel's movement. Coast Guard Lieutenant Jim Fothergill says damage to the hull or propellers will be the only sure sign that the ship actually hit the beach. He says the vessel came very close to the beach, but it has not been determined if the drill ship actually went aground. Shell plans to send divers underneath the Discoverer this morning to get a closer look. The Coast Guard will check the divers' video footage to determine whether the ship actually made contact with the beach. Convincing locals might be difficult. Many, like charter captain Christian Laxfuss, are certain that the ship hit shore.
If the captain would have asked them to put the gangway down, he could have walked to the post office.
Shell Vice President Pete Slaby characterized it as a, quote, near miss. He says the company is taking it very seriously. When asked specifically how the Discoverer drifted towards the beach while multiple Shell vessels, including the tugboat Lauren Foss, sat nearby, Slaby said it was too soon to say.
We will investigate, you know, the timeliness of the response for the Lauren Foss and others, but we're happy that we have planned and had that ship in harbor for such of an eventuality.
The Discoverer is slated to start drilling in the Chukchi Sea next month. Slaby says this does not change that plan.
We will go up to the Arctic fully prepared. We'll learn from this incident. And I think, you know, it is a kind of an industry where incidents happen, and, you know, the best you can do is to learn from the incident and not repeat.
More specifically, Slaby says the Discoverer will use 8 anchors in the Arctic as opposed to the single anchor it had on Saturday. For the time being, the Discoverer will remain anchored in Unalaska Bay, with the Lauren Foss standing by in case of more high winds. And Bernice Joseph, the Vice Chancellor for Rural Community and Native Education at UAF, was recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and will undergo chemotherapy treatments in Fairbanks. She has travel planned for surgery in Seattle later this year. To help offset costs incurred during treatment, staff at the College of Rural and Community Development are holding a fundraiser. Bambi Nelson is assistant to the Vice Chancellor. She's organizing a fry bread taco feed dinner and raffle fundraiser for Joseph during next week's World Eskimo Indian Olympics in Fairbanks.
At this time, Bernice has shared that the most important thing to her and her family would be the prayers and good wishes of those who know them. But we also know that while she's recovering, that there's going to be a lot of expenses incurred by herself and her family. And so because we consider ourselves to be part of her extended family, we took it upon ourselves to organize a fundraiser to assist them with those expenses.
The fundraiser for CRCD Vice Chancellor Bernice Joseph will be held on Friday, the 27th of July, at the Sheer David Salmon Tribal Hall in Fairbanks. Bernice Joseph is originally from Nulato, the daughter of Edith Nicholas. She lives in Fairbanks with her husband and 3 children. UAF's CRCD staff describes her as a tireless advocate for education and a respected leader who has served Alaskans for decades. The price of gold in New York this morning was up $1.10, trading at $1,591.50 an ounce. Silver was down 2 cents to $27.42 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 85 cents a pound, and Alaska Airlines Flight 151 was expected to depart Nome at 9:47 this morning and is due to arrive in Anchorage at 11:13 this morning. 52 degrees unofficially outside the KNOM station, 11 and a half minutes past 9 o'clock.